thank you. We thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on our behalf. May we never forget what your son has suffered for us, Lord. May we never forget that you are risen, seated at the right hand of the Father. May we never forget how much you love us. I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would just be among us this morning in power, that you would open the eyes of our understanding and just move in our hearts, God. Show us what we need. Show us what we need to surrender. Show us what we need to maybe repent of. I pray, Father, that you'd send your Spirit to convict us. We need to be convicted, Lord. We need your conviction. May you just move among us and have your way, Father, so that you would be glorified, so that your kingdom would come, so that we would see people saved, we would see people transformed. In Jesus' name, may our praises be lifted unto you, God, as a sweet-smelling aroma. May we worship you in spirit and truth. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, we ask it. Amen.
Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at His feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how His love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great. break every chain, oh God, you have done great.
Righteous.
and your beauty is beyond my words. Lord, your grace is amazing. Lord, your love is unchanging, and your beauty is beyond my words. Lord, your grace is amazing, and your glory. And the praises of the children, join thousands of angels who encircle your throne and cry, holy, holy, holy. Is it?
Hallelujah. You really are a holy God. Nothing like you. Nothing compares to you. Who is like you, O Lord? You're holy, different in every way. We'll never be able to fully comprehend. And I pray for eternity we would praise your name, God. Hallelujah. Pray with me together, church, for the blessing of the bikes. Please remain standing. Lord, Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you just move your Holy Spirit upon all the bikers in this region, in this area, that you just begin to do a supernatural work in their hearts and in their minds, that you'd begin to soften their hearts even now, God. Give them thoughts, plant thoughts in their minds, God, of the blessing of the bikes. Raise up in them an interest in coming to this event, Lord. And I pray that every single worker that we have for this event, that you'd begin to fill them now. You'd begin to equip them with your spirit, with your word, with your presence right now, Lord. And help them be diligent and faithful in the days coming. So that when we're on that day, we would be effective. And you remind me, Lord, you sent your disciples and you told them, hallelujah, you told them, don't be worried, don't fear about what you're going to say. Just trust that the Holy Spirit will give you what you're going to say in the same hour. Help us stand in that faith, Jesus, in that revelation that you will give us exactly what we need to say to defend you, to defend the faith, and to proclaim the kingdom. And lastly, Lord, we just ask that you bless the day with great weather, because if it's raining, nobody's going to come, God. We need you to give us a beautiful day, Lord, for your glory, for your honor. Truly, Lord, we ask humbly for a beautiful day. Elijah prayed with a manner like ours, a likeness like ours, and it didn't rain, and then it did rain. May it not rain, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So good to see all of you. Praise the Lord. You can be seated if you'd like. My name is Rolando. I think Rivera's up there too. I'm not sure, but it's fine. I want you to know Jesus. But welcome. Welcome. If you're here for the first time, welcome. Can we all give our first comers I can't even speak this morning. A round of applause. Honor them. That's our way of honoring you, saying welcome. Thank you for joining us. If you're online, thank you for joining us. We're blessed to have you. We're excited for what God has for us this morning. If you want to connect with Seaport, we want to connect with you. I think the best way you can do it is by hitting the QR code that's on the back of the seats in front of you. You just point your camera at it, bring you to a landing page. There's a bunch of ways to get connected with Seaport that way. You can also text welcome to the number that's going to pop up on the screen behind me, and that'll bring you to a landing page. You can get connected a bunch of different ways, social media and everything. But here is Pastor Brad.
Thanks, Rolando. Thank you very much. Morning, everyone. Nice to see all of you. Nice to see all of you. Great to have you here today. And I would love to connect. And today, you have a special opportunity. Jessica will tell you about that in just a moment with newcomers reception that we'll be doing in just a few minutes. That's a great way to connect. And anyway, we want to honor the Lord with our giving. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you so much. Many, many, many of you commit the first 10% of your income to the Lord. You tithe and give offerings, and thank you for doing that. You help us make this place go. And I'm so grateful to God for you. If you have questions about giving, there's a little brochure out there called Dollars and Cents. You can pick that up. But I read this verse of scripture today. I read through the book of Proverbs just about every month. Look at what it says here. Some people are always greedy for more, but the godly love to give. That's true, isn't it? I have never met a growing Christian that wasn't a generous one. Just never have. Never have. You know, the more godly you become, the more generous you become. Amen? And it's just generous, and because you love to. It's not a burden. You love to do that. So thank you for being godly and being generous and giving. Thank you for that. Let's pray. And there's lots of ways to give around here. You can go old school with a little kiosk with an envelope and check. You can do that. You can go. You can use text to give. You can go to our website. You can all. It's all laid out right behind me. You can do it that way. Lots of easy ways to give. Thank you for giving. Appreciate it so very, very much. And it's just, there's so much that's happening around here. And a critical reason for that is your faithfulness in giving. So thank you. Father, your word says we give and it shall be given to us. Good measure, pressed down and running over. Boy, that's true in my own life, Lord. I've seen you do some amazing things, even this week in my life. And I'm so grateful for that. Lord, it's true. As we give, you give back. So help us today as we give. May we love to give because we're growing in our relationship with you. Thanks, Father. And use it all to advance your kingdom, we pray. Amen. Amen, friends? Amen. Well, we like to take, in April is month of the military child. And so we're going to show a short little video about what that's about, where the idea came from. We're going to show that. And then I'll talk to you a little bit. I want us to, in a moment, we're gonna right after the video, we'll stand, pray for all of our military kids, and then I'll tell you a couple of other things. But let's just watch this little 3-minute video about what this is. Most of the kids are in kids' church, this morning. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to have all of you that are former, retired, and active military who currently or during your military service raise kids. I'd like to have you stand, all of you. Remain standing with me. Remain standing with me. We've had lots and lots of military kids through here in this church over these 33 years. And let me tell you, you just remain standing. You're used to standing, so it's not a big deal. You're used to all kinds of things. And Quick story. Dad was out to sea somewhere. Mom called me and said, can you come and help me? My son will not listen to me. I drove into, then we called it military housing. I drove into military housing. Son was probably 13, 14. Let's just say I went Pastor Brad on him. We'll leave it at that. That kid had an incredible future as a professional baseball player. He wasn't a bad kid, just really struggling with dad not around. That kid would forgo that baseball career and go to the Philippines as a missionary. He would leave there. He would leave there. And he and his wife now lead a wonderful Assemblies of God church in Indiana, one that just so happens to have been started by a Bible college classmate of Debbie and mine. He's leading that, and a very effective and very respected man of God. He wasn't much of a man of God that afternoon. But he got there. But he got there. I'm so proud of that kid. And so many are those kinds of stories out there. So many of those stories. Lord, thank you for these families. They give up so much. I've never walked in their shoes. I've walked beside their shoes. And Lord, I've seen what they've given up. I've seen what the kids have been through. The good and the bad. The ups and the downs. Dad's going to be back. Mom's going to be back on this. Oh, nope, not going to happen that day. Is it today? No, it's not today. No, maybe tomorrow. No, not that day either. It's real tough for some of these families. But your grace is great enough. God, help every kid. Sometimes, Lord, they struggle so hard. Other times, they just bounce along. Well, I pray that Mom and Dad have just incredible wisdom and grace and strength. And this church is able to be a backbone and a backdrop and a help to every military family. God, may every military child that comes in here, may they sense like, yeah, this is my church and I'm loved here. May they sense that. May they know that. We just trust you, God, that you'll continue to help Seaport to be a place that just loves our military, their families, and loves these kids. They're an incredible blessing to us. It's a privilege for us. Strengthen every one of these families. Every one of them, Lord. Especially in those lonely hours and days, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you for being here at Seaport. It's an honor for me to serve you. And serve. Thank you for that honor. We have some gifts for the kids, and so we're asking you just to stop by the information center, pick out something before you pick them up after the service. Just pick up whatever you'd like, and for them, and then go and pick them up. After you pick up the gift there, then go, and it's just a little something. Later in May, we're going to do a military appreciation service, and we're going to do something a little bit more there. But anyway. I decided today was a good day, among many other reasons, besides riding to the cross, to break out my Harley, which happens to be very purple. It's very purple. That is going to be pulled up in front of the church. Randy's going to help me with this. We're going to pull it up in front of the church, and any of the kids that want a picture on it, they can sit on it. You don't find many Harley guys are going to let you sit on their motorcycle. And if you do, there might be a price to pay. But today, they can. They can stand beside things if they want to. You take their picture if you want to do that. That Randy's going to help me with that. He'll be out there with the kids and just help them get up on it and all that kind of good jazz. Just help me with keeping that paint. Anyway, so we just want to bless you. We just want to say thank you. And we just love you. Why don't we do this around here a lot. Why don't we just through our kids. The kids won't necessarily hear, but we can express our appreciation through our applause. Can we do that? Let's just do that. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. We got some opportunities around here. Jessica, come and talk to us about those.
Good morning, church. I'm Jessica. I'm one of our deacons here at Seaport, and we have many opportunities for you to plug into. So first one being, Pastor Brad already mentioned it, but they're going to be taking a ride to Barre, Massachusetts. I said it wrong earlier this week, so you're not going to Maine today. It's a bit far. We also have, if you're wondering who is God and what he really is like, Pastor Brad will be teaching this Wednesday as we continue, Do You Really Believe That? And also we have tons of programs for your kids to plug into. So if you want to connect with other young adults, ages 18 to 29, that's young. I just want to be there. I just want to be with you guys. I don't make the cut anymore. Here's your chance. Hundreds of bikers will be here next Sunday for the 15th blessing of the bikes. We've prayed about it. Yep. Yeah. It's a big thing. So continue to pray about it, but also make sure you sign up to help. You can do that out there. There's clipboards, or you can also sign up on the app, and you can share our Facebook event. If you want to see how God wired you to be your best, Pastor Brad will be doing a webinar called Engage. You want to check that out. If you want your finances to thrive, who doesn't? We have a brand new webinar that will show you how. And we also have April 29th at 7 p.m., the Arise Prayer Gathering. Where do you sign up? The app. So at this time, we're going to have, if there's any youth in, we're going to dismiss the youth. Oh, there you go. Front row. And if you're new to Seaport, we have a newcomers reception right now, like right during church. It's happening over in the fireplace room. So I'll help to answer any questions that you might have. I'll share about our church while we share some refreshments. So if you're new or if you haven't had a chance to attend the newcomer reception, now is your time. So you can either exit out this side door like I'm going to, or out the back and come up the corridor near Fellowship Hall.
Amen. Slip right out with Jessica. I mean, it's a good time and informal and help you to really understand some things around here. So jump out and do that right now. Go right out that way or go that way. Either way works, okay, with Jessica right now. We also, because you asked for these, we've created these Thrive cards. These are just things that you can share with a friend. And the QR code is the same one that's on the back of the seats. They can go and just to a landing page and get information about the church. It's just a simple little thing that we created to help you because, again, so many of you have asked for these little cards. It's kind of fun. We keep refilling the little bins that they sit in out there. And so you're taking them, so keep taking them. Thank you so much for that. The series that we're in on Wednesday nights, it's an interactive series. We're really going to talk about just really who God is. Who is he, really? And we'll just talk about that. It's going to be a good solid dose of theology. All right? Okay? That's where we're going with that. But then next week, we begin a brand new series. Today we conclude this one. We begin a brand new series called Life Abundant. And we're going to look at five ways that we can live an abundant life. We're going to talk about our families, our marriages, our money, our who we are as a person, and other things. We'll be doing that over 5 weeks starting May 1st. So there's a lot happening around here. But as we get ready to conclude this series, Witness to the Resurrection, let's take a quick look at this little video, and then I'll come back and share what God's given to me. Let's watch.
Not long ago, I would sit in my shop and build supper tables, toys, bird boxes, whatever they were buying, I'd build them. I miss it. I miss the families, the tradecraft. Like this mallet. Oh, what an instrument. It's simple, elegant, tactile, all the power that you would want, yet with all the finesse that you need for fine woodworking. Seems I've traded it in for this. Hammer's just looking to get the job done. It's clunky, it's clumsy, destructive. Tell that to the Romans, eh? The rate they've been sending me split and splintered beams back. Hardly enough time to repair before they nail some new man up on them. My wife, she thinks it's beneath me. When I told her I'd found this new work, she didn't say no, but I remember her eyes. They said it for her. They said, the Romans only pay in blood money. I managed my conscience for a while, and then Jerusalem was just turned upside down with the arrival of this teacher. My wife thinks he's the Messiah. I never told her, but I saw this teacher speak once out in front of the temple. And his words that stuck with me, haunted me. And then just a few hours ago, they killed him. They, convenient word, when you don't want to consider whether you're involved in it. There's dozens of crossbeams go in and out of that Roman storehouse, yeah? The chances that it was one of mine are really slim, right? But I can't shake any of it. And who could after witnessing the aftermath of it? We all felt the ground shake. We all saw the darkness come, black as a raven, shadowing Jerusalem as if night had fallen. We all heard that the veil had ripped, and the graves opening up. My fingerprints are all over that cross. I can feel it. Why didn't I listen to my wife? Why didn't I listen to that teacher? I don't know if it's too late for me, but I am done with crosses.
Happened to him? How does a man go from fine furniture to crosses? Roman crosses were designed for one thing, and that was the execution of prisoners. That was it. What happened to this man? There's a question that I will often launch at people that I'm getting to know and maybe interacting with, maybe sometimes service personnel. And that question is simply this: how'd you get started doing this kind of work? It's a great opener. And the responses are almost always the same. There's often a smile or a thoughtful pause. And then they'll launch into their answer. And their answer can sometimes just be short or simple, and sometimes long and detailed. It might be something, you know, I always dreamed of doing this, and I'm finally living my dream. There's others who said, you know, well, I went to college for whatever particular major or skill, and I decided I didn't like it, and so I'm kind of on a journey of trying to find something else to do with my life, and found this. I have a friend who went to law school, passed the bar. At the end of his first day working for a law firm, he quit. He said, I don't want to be a lawyer. And today what he does, he finds much more rewarding than doing what he was doing. Oh, people give me all kinds of answers. They say, you know what, I really haven't found what I'm going to do yet. I'm doing this until I can figure out what I'm doing. I don't know. I had no idea what I was going to do with my life. I just kind of fell into this, or somebody recommended this, and you know, I've just been doing this and going along and pays the bills, and I don't really like it, but I have a family, and well, that's where I am. That's where I am. You know, how did the woodworker get started in cross repair and building? Now, let me explain something to you. Last week, Mary Magdalene is a very real historical figure who figured prominently in the story of the resurrection. The very first witness to the resurrection, the woodworker, is just a fictional character that we're bringing forward to help us understand some of the dynamics. Please understand that. But how did this man, I don't know, I can kind of theorize based upon my interactions with people, how in the world could a guy like this get involved in doing something that really was so heinous? Maybe he just, it sounded like easy money to him. Maybe it was just sounded like easy money. Maybe, I don't know, maybe he came to the point in his life where he was bored with, you know, building tables and chairs and toys for kids and wanted to do something different. Maybe he got tired of the fine focus that he had to keep on making those kinds of things. It was just rough-hewn work that he had with crosses. Maybe it was that. Maybe it was just some side job that he picked up for a little while, but it became more and more as the Romans, and they really had a thing about executing people, the Romans did. Maybe the Romans conscripted him, required, because the Romans certainly weren't going to do that kind of work. So they get one of the Jews whose country they occupied to do their dirty work. Maybe it was that. Maybe somewhere in this guy's heart, as he got older, he began to look at all the furniture and begin to say, isn't there something better for my life? Isn't there something more that I could do? I don't, you know. Maybe he began to worry about his future. Maybe he was concerned about, you know, wanting to get his family better secure, especially with the Romans in town. He didn't know what was going to happen with them occupying. Maybe he was worried and concerned. Maybe he didn't know what his future was going to be like. And maybe he was just, or maybe he was fighting off greed. Oh, and maybe he's just, oh, you know, I just got to get more because I want more for my family and I want more for my wife. And maybe he got sucked into that. Or maybe somewhere in the depths of his heart, he was like, is there a greater purpose for my life than this? And maybe he began to rationalize in his mind, you know, it's okay. It's okay to do this work because, well, I mean, you know, the Romans aren't putting just anybody on those crosses. I mean, the people that they put up there, I mean, they're criminals. I mean, they're not just, I mean, the people they're putting up there, they're not model citizens. They're not perfect people nailed to a cross. Maybe he was caught in all of that. Maybe he stepped in thinking it was just a short-term gig and it would soon be over, but he suddenly discovered it was going to be all-consuming. We don't know. Somewhere along the line, this guy lost his identity and his purpose. Oh, it wasn't that he hadn't been warned. His wife, she was not in favor of it at all. I can imagine the conversation that she probably had with him about this when he said, yeah, I found this new line of work. She probably said, don't do that. Not only is it beneath you, that's almost a betrayal of our country. What are other people going to think? You've taken this blood money from the Romans. And you know the Romans, boy, they're going to own you. They're going to own you. He heard it, but he probably felt that the pressures and the desires and the fears and the worries were even greater than that in worth. And she probably turned her head and tried not to lose respect for what he was going to do, knowing his heart, but seeing that there was a change taking place in him. When the word got out that he had taken on this new work, I'm sure that his friends probably responded like this: "What? You're doing what? I mean, come on. Just last week we had conversations about how much we all hated the Romans. How we longed for the Messiah to come and to deliver us. And now you're working for them? What have you become?" The Jews were a tight-knit community. They despised the Romans. And any Jew that worked for the Romans was considered a traitor, a betrayer. That's why Zacchaeus, the tax collector in Luke 19, and why Matthew, who would become a disciple and a follower of Jesus, tax collectors, they were despised and hated because they worked for the Romans and they could exact any kind of tax out of you that they wanted. And if you didn't pay up, they had the weight of the Roman army against you. What happens to this guy that he would sell out somewhere along the line? He must have lost his sense of priority and purpose. He knew the scripture. He knew it. He was a Jewish man. He'd been schooled at least somewhat in understanding of the great literature of what we call the Old Testament. He was probably quite familiar with what Solomon said in chapter 4 of his book, Proverbs, when he said, "Guard your heart. Guard your heart with everything that you have, because your heart controls your destiny." But the woodworker allowed his heart to become cold, dark, misguided. Even Solomon didn't pay attention to what he had been taught and fell away into terrible and grievous sin. The first pastor that I worked for, I was a kid right out of Bible college. I worked for him for 3 years and then left and went to a different ministry. He stayed here in Groton. This is way a long time ago. And I went on to another place. Stories would come to me about how this pastor was leading, and it sounded so, well, frankly, it sounded terrible. Not terrible. My family was still in the church and were very concerned, and so was I. But to make a very long and terrible story very short, that pastor had decided that it'd be okay for him to, through some legal maneuvering, he actually removed the church building from who it belonged to, got control of the church building that was paid for, sold it, and absconded with the money. This was so grievous, so heinous. His own brother, a very well-known Christian leader in New England, said to me personally, he said, "I wouldn't want to stand," he said it just like this, he said, "I wouldn't want to stand before God and give an account for what my brother did." I said, "How could this be? What happened to that man?" Somewhere, this is my theory. Even at one point after he did this, I said, "You know what? I wrote him a letter. And I said, "You took the money. At least give me a tithe so I can restart the church." He wouldn't give it to me. I didn't think he would. I wonder what happened to him. And the only theory that I could really come up with was, after having worked with him, that somehow he allowed something into his heart and he began to rationalize that it was okay to do what he did. Take that money. In the end, it was never right, terribly wrong. But in the end, what he did actually set this church up to be started. And this church is far greater than what that church ever was. So thank God for that. But I wonder what happened. His heart grew dark. heart grew dark. I wondered, as this woodworker, his heart grows darker and darker. Unknowingly, unwittingly. I can imagine that maybe one day his wife came back to him and maybe said, had a conversation. Maybe they went something like this. Maybe she called him by his name and said, you know, she looked in the shop and saw all these beams and all the work that had, and the Romans just kept dumping them in there because they had an affection for executing people. They didn't care. These were just pathetic people that they ruled over. They didn't care. She probably stuck her head in the shop and called him by name and probably said, you know, she could see the deterioration of his soul taking place. And she said, you know what? You've been working so hard. Why don't you take the day? And why don't you come with the kids and myself? And why don't you? You've heard about that. You've heard about that teacher. My friends tell me that the things that he's saying are so amazing. All of our religious teachers are cold. They're dead. They want us to follow all their rules and all the regulations. And it's death. And yet, when this man, my friends tell me that when this man speaks, he speaks with life and freedom. And I can tell the difference on their faces. Why don't you come? He's going to be speaking on a hillside. You know the hill. Right there on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. It'll be beautiful. Let's take the day as a family. There'll be lots of other families that are going. Why don't you come? I can imagine he felt probably conflicted, drawn, like you saw in the video, and yet guarded, willing to take the risk. And maybe she tried one more time. Maybe she said something like this. I hear from my friends that he heals people. That some blind eyes have been opened. The deaf ears have been opened. People who couldn't walk are walking. Would you come? Maybe he'll heal our daughter. You see him in that shop. Tortured and afflicted. Wanting to be with his family. Feeling that desire to hear. But looking at everything and pushing back and thinking, no. I've got to do this. Consumed with his worries and his fears and his concerns and his lusts and his desires and his heart growing darker. He said, go, you go, you go. I'll stay. Have a good time. I'm sure it'll be good. Maybe I'll join you another time. She probably sent one of the kids in one last attempt. Daddy, would you come? Probably took all he had to say no. They would make their way up the coast to where Jesus was. He was seated on top of a hill, not a very tall hill, covered with grass and flowers. Beautiful. Right on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. I've been to the very spot. He preached what is called his greatest sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, one of the finest pieces of literature in all mankind. Matthew records it in chapters 5, 6, and 7. She probably came and got as close as she could. There were other families that she had traveled with, and they all kind of spread out there on an amphitheater where the acoustics were amazing. And Jesus begins. Jesus begins. He talks about 8 ways to find a blessed and happy life. We call them Beatitudes. He immediately launches into 6 statements that every person there had heard over and over again through their religious teachers. But Jesus said, you've heard it like this, but let me tell you how it really is. And the people sat there amazed. Amazed. Jesus would launch in through chapter 5 and into what we call chapter 6. He would begin to draw a distinction between what it meant to really have a heart for God and instead of just following the rules and using religion to draw people's attention to you and just clicking some boxes. He talked about the importance of of giving and prayer, and he talked about loving your enemies and giving to the needy. He launches into what we call the Lord's Prayer. Interestingly enough, back in the 80s, an old farmer in Barre, Massachusetts, one night, after he had said the Lord's Prayer, he was not a Christian, he was not a religious man, it was just a practice that he had of saying the Lord's Prayer, God spoke to him and told him to build a 200-foot-long cross, 25 feet wide. This man had no clue. And he built it. John Hardy built it. He's passed away now. That's where we're going to ride this afternoon. This huge cross out in the farmer's field. Because God spoke to some guy after he said the Lord's Prayer. Jesus would go on. Woodworker's wife is probably sitting there saying, if he'd only come, would have helped him if he only could have heard this. But Jesus would continue, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures. Look at what it says here in heaven. Where moth and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Where your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Your eye is like the lamp that provides light for you, for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body, look at this, is filled with darkness. And the light you think of actually is darkness. How deep that darkness is. Through the years, I've met many extremely affluent people. To me, it's hysterical, frankly. Solomon said, you know, the rich and the poor, God has created them both. I'm not poor, but I'm more toward the poor side than the rich side. For sure. And I've met all kinds of rich people. And I've seen the darkness that fills their souls. All the stories I can tell you. Things that they confided into me. You see, they had it all, but they had nothing. I hang out with some of these rich guys because they wanted me to. And they're looking at me and they're saying, they see that I'm not anything like them. I'm happy and they're not. They couldn't quite figure that out. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate the one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. And Jesus goes on in those next two paragraphs, and he tells these folks not to worry, not to be consumed with the pursuit of all kinds of stuff. He begins to lay out, you know, why are you so worried about all these different things? Don't you know that your Father in heaven knows what you have need of? I mean, if you'll take care of the lilies of the field and arrobe them in splendor greater than Solomon, if you'll take care of the birds who don't give any thought. I know the birds at my house don't give any thought. They just come to the bird feeder. Don't give any thought to nothing. They just come there, you know. He says, why worry about all those things in 31? What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For these things will dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows. Look at that. All your needs. Look at that. Somewhere along the line, this woodworker had forgotten that simple truth. Oh, it was found in the Old Testament as well. He lost track of the idea that, you know what, that somehow God would care for him, God would provide for him. He didn't have to stoop and do the kinds of stuff that he was doing. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to allow his life to be so consumed with the pursuit of all that stuff. that now just a grievous soul didn't have to. But he allowed it to happen because he did not guard his heart. Not guard his heart. And Jesus would wrap this up with this well-known verse, seek first the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need. Give you everything that you need. You see how it works, though? Your priority is to put God and his purposes first. How are you doing with that? It's a simple plan. You seek first God's purposes, his plans, his ways. You serve him first. You pursue a right relationship with him. You put time and emphasis into growing in relationship with him. And then all the things that you have need of will be added to you. If you reverse this order, it will not work. Recently, I got connected with a guy that I've been wanting to for a number of years. And in the process of our conversation, told me this story. When he was a young man, his older brother, 2 years older than him, when he was in his teens or 20s, he received the call of God on his life to go into ministry. His older brother came to him and he said these words to him. He said, "You are so talented. You're so smart. You've got so many abilities. You could do anything. You choose to go into ministry, you're going to waste your life." His brother's heart was focused on one thing: being successful and making money. And now the man sitting across from me telling me the story of his older brother and himself, 78, and his brother, 80. His 80-year-old brother achieved everything that he dreamed. Had all the accoutrements of success, the big house, and all that goes with it. But had such darkness, even their 101-year-old mom didn't want to stay in the same house with them. The darkness was that great. And the man seated across from me, the man who wasted his life, let me tell you how he wasted his life. He sought first the kingdom of God and a right relationship with the Lord. Not a wealthy man. But okay. He became a pastor, traveling speaker, became a consultant to churches. Became a consultant to denominations of churches. Began to do work in the United States and then around the world. Started a ministry that today has various chapters in over 23 nations around the world. If that's wasting your life, I'm in. Raised millions for missions around the world. Let me waste my life like that. What are your priorities, friends? Simple question. You can say to me, "Oh, my priority is to put God first in all my life." But is that true? If I was to look at how you spent your time this week, what would that tell me? If I was to look at how you spent your money this week, what would that say? All I will say to you is this. Right now, 11 o'clock, this Sunday morning, April 24th, every person in this room, every single person in this room is making a decision, and that decision will determine the course of your life. That's what Solomon said. The decisions that you're making right now, how you're going to spend your life, your time, your energies. If you're going to focus on the Lord or not, you want to know where you're going to be 5 and 10 years from now, you're deciding that now, today. Today. Where is it going to take you? Please don't chase the things of this world. They're not worth it. Gone in a moment. I said to a very wealthy friend of mine, whose boat I'd been on and fishing on many years ago, I said to him, multimillionaire, but his whole world crashed in a moment. Millions and millions of dollars gone in a moment. I said to him one day, I said, hey, where's your boat? He looked at me and he said, I don't know. I said, what do you mean you don't know where your boat is? He looked at me and he said, I don't know. And repoed it. Gone in a moment. What are you going to do? If you think you're not going to go down the same road as the woodworker, you're only deceiving yourself. One last thing, and then we're going to pray. When I was in my 20s, the office that I worked in, my boss was what was called the district superintendent. He was the head guy over all the Assemblies of God pastors, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts. He was my immediate report. Outside my office was a waiting room where people would come, pastors and missionaries and various people would come, and they would then come, they would sit there as they were waiting for their appointment to go in and speak to the governing board of the Assemblies of God at that time, the presbytery, which now I'm a member of that particular board. They'd sit outside, just outside my office. And sometimes I knew their stories, and sometimes they were coming in, and it was a bad story. They were about to lose it all. My boss, the superintendent, said this to me when I was in my mid-20s. He said, you know, and it grieved him to do some of the things he had to do. Put it in military terms, he had to bust preacher's rank. He busted him down to nothing. He busted him to nothing. Tore at his soul. He said this to me. He said, Brad, he said, they all say the same thing. I thought to myself, what in the world was that? He said, they all say the same thing. I never thought it could happen to me. Scared me to death. Your priorities will determine your future. What are you going to do with them? I hope that you'll follow the Lord. I hope you'll go and waste your life. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Band, you guys can come back. I pray that right now, God, that you would do just a deep dive into our hearts. Cut through any self-deception. And God, I include myself. God, just do that deep dive into our hearts and into our lives and show us, God, if there's growing darkness. And help us, oh God, to realign the priorities and put you first. And God, there may be some that are here today and they've never even entered into a relationship with you and they need to do that. I pray they will. But as we get ready to leave this place, challenge every one of us. God, some of us got to recalibrate our hearts. Some of us got to deal with some darkness. Some of us have got to get back on track lest we stray too far. We trust you now, Father. Put him first, friends. You don't regret that. You don't regret that. Stand with me. Ministry team's going to come stand across the front. They'll pray with you about any particular need that you have. And if you need to meet Jesus, they'll help you with that too. Let's sing this song. After this song, I'll come back and I'll close this out. But let's sing this song.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia. Let's sing that again. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Man shall not live. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Brian. I'm gonna close. Please. Think through your priorities and seek first the kingdom of God. Seek, put his priorities first. Please put first a right relationship, a growing relationship. Please recalibrate. Please rethink and put it first. You won't regret that. You won't regret it. Before I pray, just the blessing of the bike orientation will be right here in just a few minutes. It's right here. Military moms and dads, stop at the information center first and then pick up your kids. Pick them. Rise of the Cross will be leaving just a little bit before noon. Father God, thank you for this time we've had today. God, may these words lodge in our hearts and our minds. And may we act upon them. May we not be hearers only. Speak to every one of us. Thanks, Father. Amen. Amen. God bless you as you go. Hallelujah. Thank you for being here today. Glory to God. And all these things shall be added on.